Does our universe have dimensions?
No. Yeah. That's the trouble. It does not.
So we're not in the third or fourth or fifth dimension.
Exactly, and that's why you're so angrily confused and so backwardly sideways with everything, because your up isn't down. You try to understand things, silliest thing ever, ever. Why don't you try to stand under something? It wouldn't make any sense. So, yes, you are a dimensionless realm. You are a dimensionless realm. And we're very precise how we're saying that.
So we're in a fixed dimension.
No, a dimensionless realm is not fixed.
So you mean world one?
For you, it is. But you do it that way so you can keep track.
Pursue that a little more. It's a good question. See, okay.
Well,
get more.
Quantum physics theorizes that there's 10 dimensions. Okay.
Well, go get your ball of twine and we'll run a string for you.
Well, what they say is that to move up the dimensional ladder, you have to allow yourself a certain amount of freedom.
14 degrees of freedom, and they don't recognize those either. Hold on, we don't want you to go that far. Just it'll end in tears. You were doing real good up till then.
Okay, well, I want to change the subject.
No, hold on. Don't change the subject. It's a great subject. Just
fucking, you got a good topic, Kyle. What the fuck?
Okay, all right. Well, the reason
hold on.
Listen to Ion. We're not interested in your fucking stupid opinions, Kyle. Just your words are directed at Ion's questions.
The Spofford fodder is not required to sustain a wonderful topical conversation. And here's the issue. You're also concerned with trying to ask the question that you miss the answer more times than not. So we'll guide you just a little bit. Now that you've weeded it out a little bit and you have the ones that are actually wanting to be here, now we may play. There's never a big crowd on the leading edge. You have a night where the time will slip. The house will seem to pitch. You will end up in a ditch if you do not know which way to twitch. It's a bitch. Now, you have a marginal relativity that you're gauging your parameters of reality regarding. You are someplace that you gauge. Where are you in the middle of the room based on what? Where the walls are. Well, are you standing up? Yes, depending on where the floor is. Well, are you on the ground? Well, depending on where the roof is. You see? It now becomes relative. Because if you're halfway to the troposphere, you're still on Earth, but you're not bound by it anymore. So now you're talking about dimensions and degrees of dimensions. And so that's an interesting sweep, except for you have to have a carnal marker to note those degrees of pitch and yaw. Now, if you had some of the old-timers, they could give you the 14 degrees of freedom of movement. They are prolific. It changes the way you think of movement to the point that it's now gravitational-less. All your crap that you were fixing to go into only matters unless there's gravity. There's no gravity. All that bleh is not going to apply. Okay? So now, without gravity, which you created that like you did time, because that's where you get 32 feet per second per second per second anyway, then it shifts. Okay, now, steering you back into that road to well deal, let's develop a little question on this same path regarding dimension or a little bit of your proper, not much, just a little bit.
The reason I'm pursuing this is because I'm trying to...
We don't care why you're pursuing the question.
Okay, well, I don't understand this, going to other universes.
Okay, that's good. Now, that's good. The reason you don't is because you're gauging this as one. Okay? If you're dimensionless, then you can easily slide. Okay. Have you ever taken a bath?
Yeah.
Have you taken a bath in the same tub?
Yes, I have.
Is it always the same tub and only that tub you've ever taken a bath in?
No, sir.
Is the water in the tub that you take every time or most times the same water?
No, sir.
That's the way your dimensions are.
But how does that get me to another universe?
Different tubs, different baths, different waters. They're all connected to a drain. So are your realms.
Is my problem a degree of freedom of my mind?
It is, but it's not a problem. You never knew this. See, honey, child, the only thing you ever know is what they told you. They just done told you so much that you just pick and choose. You've been listening to Bob Salong, you're a raving lunatic. We can't, we blame. We Carol's fixed to make a potion or lotion or some kind of motion to save you from Bob. It's going to be beautiful. We got Rebob. You better pull up on that for sure. But for sure, you come to a place where you start landing somewhere. You start making a space. That's the point. You land. And once you land, then you can now know a different way. Once you know a different way, then these other vicissitudes or lines that have been prescribed that you are in, that you're trying to get out of, you're going in and out of them all the time anyway. You just don't know it. So you think you have a really big realm. And then you go, well, I don't understand. I've messed this up. I'm in different realms. I know I'm in iron, says I'm card-carrying crazy, and I ain't got no way to know what I'm talking about. Well, it's because they've limited your knower. And you won't let go and go with anything else. Now, we've changed all that for you, and you're prolifically doing better. You don't gauge it as this has got to be, this is the way this is, because now you know it isn't. You see?
Okay.
Then Roxy will make a YouTube, and it's over then. It's all over but the crying. Fat lady's on the stage. So now what you're asking is you're actually your better question. Let's see if we can assist you here. Just a little daub. So we can get you a little daub somewhere, this side of Dobbs Town. You come to a place where you now can ask a question like, hey, Ion, do you have a working definition for a world?
Do you have a working definition for a world?
Yes. One that contains a God.
Wow.
That's different than what the string theorists say, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Now, if that's the only limitation, you can take a bath wherever you choose as a god. Not since Leopold and Queen Victoria has there been a realm contained by a one true god. You slipped. And many of you have arrived at your coronation but abdicated your throne, and that's okay. But what's happened, that's why you have us in our new common found land girl position, is actually driving the moniker of an apostolic faith and doctrine. Welcome to our cloud.
Kyle, the land girl is the queen mother. He's talking about the influence of the queen mother on all of us. And Ian, wouldn't Dobbs say that the slipping of the worlds at the end of the 19th century, Queen Victoria Leopold time, was caused by the telegraph or the electric environment? Is that a factor in there? So that there wasn't one a god anymore?
Well, no, you didn't have one, so mediocology replaced it.
But you said there was a God, there was a situation, and then that isn't applied anymore. Well, that's 100 years ago, and that's due to the electric effect?
We could have that as position. We don't. It would be a demagogue that we could embrace, but we aren't.
Well, what was Teilhard de Chardin when he said electricity was a biological event? Was he saying something significant that you appreciated
it
there?
It is a biological event, but it doesn't have anything to do with the ecology.
Okay.
The reason
I think McLuhan would agree with you.
So of course, the reason there's a cloud is because you all weren't using Earth's power. The reason there's a cloud is because you weren't using it. The reason you're giving up your very living soul is because it's not doing you any good.
So we have technologies, extensions of us, because we weren't using them inside ourselves. or around ourselves. Right. So they showed up external in the outer kingdom.
Well, they're not outer anymore. They're innies.
They're what?
Innies.
Innie?
Innie, as opposed to an outie. It's an innie.
Yeah, I-N-N. Okay, inner. Innie.
Innie.
I gotcha. Okay, Kyle, what do you want to say?
I want to switch to the Bible, if that's okay.
Look, everything's okay. You don't have to preface anything.
He's being careful because, yeah, everybody thinks that we stomped off mad last week. We didn't, but everybody thinks that, so make note.
All right. When I was a young boy, I was stumbled across this verse, and it forever changed my concept of the Bible. I want to ask you if this is really very similar to what you're saying. This is Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. From that day on, I assumed that I was perfect. Are you saying that that's what we're supposed to be, perfect?
You already are perfect.
That's what I assumed. I didn't buy that I'm a sinner, and, you know, I didn't buy that. I bought that. All right, one last question. How did Samson get his strength?
He had it all along.
Was he a humongous man, muscular? Was it, you know?
How about Samson imbued his strength, his power into his hair?
Yes, but I'm saying, how did he look? Was he a giant? Did he have some form of energy that we could tap into?
Yeah, what gym did he go to?
He didn't.
Well, this ties into being perfect. Samson was perfect from birth, and then he met Delilah.
Okay, don't go on too much with your fucking stupid theories. Ask him again. I didn't ask. You got to ask again. You try it differently, but just stick to the point.
Well, I'm trying to tie this all together in my mind.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. You're here to provide words for us to hear. You're providing words for Ion to respond to, and then we all get to hear something.
Okay.
You're just a robot of words.
Explain Samson's power and then his losing of his power.
He's talking, Kyle. When he starts talking, you shut up. What were you saying, Ion?
Please read Matthew 5:28.
Out loud?
Or in your inner man.
But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her committeth adultery with her already in his heart.
If you are already perfect, how is the proclivity of an adulterous position capable?
It isn't, in my mind.
And see, here we go. We got to look at the Sermon. We call it Sermon on the Mount. You have to look at all of this whole stretch, even into the Beatitudes and where this comes from. The perfection is not trying to tell you to be perfect. It says, be ye therefore perfect. Therefore, you already are. Therefore, there you already are. And so this whole engaging or engagement shifts everything into even just a basic carnal position other than your meat sack body. And the meat sack body is why you had to be reminded to be God in the first place. The indictment is not that you took the scripture and it changed your life. The indictment is that you considered yourself a little man in the first place. Bob read that scripture. Well, Bob has never read anything, but everything's read Bob. He's never read anything.
That it read me, Ion.
And Bob would say, well, that's a really interesting position if it only affected me. See, it wouldn't. He would never acknowledge that there was. He wouldn't see the woman.
Yeah, what's the issue? What do these words mean?
That's right. That's the difference. Because then it couldn't change Bob's world because he didn't know there was one. You know, he didn't acknowledge there was a world that he could make better. Okay. Now, your words are good. Now let's bring it all the way home. Bring it all the way up to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Bring it up to Brian's lampstand. Yes, Brian, we're not moving past that. Neither are you. We are going to bring it to the marriage supper
of the Lamb. I'm glad you finally got to this point.
Well, we've stopped here. We're not moving past it till you do.
Well, no, because Kyle started out, he was talking about perfection, and then he was talking about sin.
We were just driving. He fortified your position, Brian.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, Karen.
Can you clearly explain Kyle's fortifying the position?
Innocent. He has a real drive and a position that's interesting. He wants to engage the very place of power that he's already tapped into. And he doesn't want to do anything other than perfection for him. Now, perfection is relative. Things are perfect till they're not. People love you till they don't. People hate you till they love you, or they love you till they hate you, or the up and down, or whatever else goes with that. That's not even the point. The point is that you're trying to gauge perfection, all right, or Kyle is. And he's doing a great job because he's looking at it from the inset out. Inset out, not the on-site in. Roxy, don't mess that up. On-site in.
Because I'm thinking about emotion.
It's not emotion. And even if it were an emotion, it wouldn't be from a fallen state. It would be from a less-than position of not knowing. A less-than position of not knowing. Now, Kyle, we're right back to you, and we're going to go right with you. Brian, pay attention, Brian. We're going to get to the
goody-goody. Oh, I'm paying attention.
Just a second. We're going to get just a second now. All right, now, Kyle, you have the thread, and the thread you've begun is regarding perfection in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Do you have specific askings regarding the marriage supper of the Lamb?
No, sir.
Okay. See, Bob, we'll show you how to make a math question.
Good, good. I was showing Greenbrier how to do it. You can show them how to do it. No, you're not telling me anything. I didn't know.
Yeah. Well, we hit the nail on the hammer, and the answer was no.
What I'm asking, Ian, is being in your power the same as being perfect?
Well, that's what we said. That's what we were speaking of. That was the point. The point is perfection is relative to your gauge.
Perfection. Exactly.
Relative. We love you till you hate you. We hate you till you love you.
So I can lust upon a woman and I'm still perfect.
Well, of course.
That's what I thought.
Some would say perfection would be that you have the ability to have desire. But then a Buddhist would say enlightenment comes from the quenching of a desire. But that's a desire in itself.
Okay, can you go back to Samson and Delilah?
If you'd like.
I'm intrigued by his strength, and then I'm intrigued by how she was able to take it away from him.
He wasn't. She didn't.
Why was he so attracted to her?
Because she was taboo.
John McPhever?
Oh, taboo. Taboo.
Taboo.
Not allowed.
That's not like Jungle Fever?
No.
Kyle, what's your intrigue with Samson? As I'm listening to you, it sounds like you're questioning what is perfection, and then you're trying to see if there are clues to perfection or getting to perfection by figuring out Samson.
Well, the Bible states that he was born perfect.
So are you.
But he had all the strength, and that's what I'm saying.
So do you.
So I can slay 1,000 Philistines with the jaw of a donkey?
Of an ass, yes.
Okay. I just didn't know it. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you did know it, or you wouldn't have this as a question, you see. This is what's astounding. You already conquered the world. Now where's your world?
I did have these kind of thoughts. I thought they were insanity, really.
You think? Well, so is genius, darling.
So that's why I think I can sing as good as Elvis.
Better.
you're talking about thinking, Kyle. If you declare it, maybe it would happen for you more often.
All right, I have sang as good as Elvis.
Yeah, but you're talking about thinking insane and thoughts and things. Ian would say, don't worry about your thinking. It's what you say.
The thinking is the problem?
Yes. Ignore your thinking. Just declare.
Not a thinking man's game.
Perfection is not a thinking man's game. Look at me. Look how successful I am. And as Ian said, I haven't had an original thought ever.
Yet. He may before it's over.
I may get one. But we don't care if I ever get one. I'm already ascended, so it's not an issue.
Yeah.
You got the point. You don't need the image of Samson in your outer world.
These are thoughts that I thought were insane when I thought them.
Yeah.
All thoughts are insane.
Yeah, but until now, I wouldn't tell anybody that I had these thoughts.
Well, good. Thank you. Yes, wonderful.
They were internal. Now I'm speaking them.
Yeah,
that's
they are.
Does that empower me?
If you have to ask, then there's a question of your power.
No, I'm referring to I've heard you say you have to speak. So if I had internalized all these thoughts and never spoke them, then they weren't as powerful.
There most certainly would be a drawback up to it.
Okay.
But even that didn't make you any less powerful, see? And yes, you would want to speak, but that's just to catch up with you to you. The problem has never been us. The problem's always been you. That's Bob. He'll tell you. It's you. You gonna believe us? Them lying eyes of yours.
Well, my problem was that, you know, I was so different from everybody. I thought that being in my power was, you know, nobody liked that.
And now you finally stopped living to see what everybody else does or doesn't like about you. Because whether they do or they don't like you, it doesn't change you.
No, I just quit messing around with people. Wasting my time.
And there's no problem. It's not time. You can't waste something that doesn't exist. So it's an experience that you're changing for a new experience. That's all you're saying. That's what you're wanting to acknowledge. Good. Okay, now we must segue this to Brian's lampstand. Okay, it's very important. And you're doing good, so don't get all full of yourself. That's what we're telling you to do. And continue on with your questions, specifically regarding the marriage supper of the Lamb. You're asking if you're in power. We said yes. You're asking if you are God in the image of God, or you should be, therefore, part of the bibbly-bibbly-squibbly-nibs of Dobbin-Dobbin sage, but you may. And then you would ask the question regarding that, would you not?
Are you saying, what is my relationship to Christ?
No, fuck that, no. That's an example of you coming into your place of power. You as a God, it's the expatriation. He's the Ollie North of Godship. You got enough Contras, you need some Santanistas to get you straightened out.
No, I'm just referring to that.
Just hold on. We're not. So don't refer to what we're not speaking about. We're going to help. They would be still.
You don't need to respond, Kyle, too often.
Yeah, too often. Now and again, we're trying to drive this, and we're going to get you there, we promise. So one way or the other, yeah.
Oh, you just wanted me to ask the question. Okay.
Desperately, because it fulfills your question.
Okay, I get it.
Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount, that just gets you TT hard. It won't get you off, darling. We're trying to get you all the way off. The marriage supper of the Lamb will get you there. It's where the blood that gives you strength from day to day will never, no never, no never lose its power. Now, this blood at the marriage supper of the Lamb on the altar is surrounded by the 24 elders and surrounded by the lampstand. The lampstand specifically have a specific place or point of accuracy within the altar. The altar is where the sacrifice is made, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect sacrificial lamb, the blood of the Lamb, which is the same Lamb that was slain, which is the blood that's curing the Ebola right now. You want that blood, that same blood coursing or intercoursing through your very living veins.
Hint from Ion. Nice hint.
That's the drops. Oh, yeah.
Those drops are not the blood of the Lamb. You wish the that they were.
Yeah.
But not even that. Now just throw up a second. You don't have to second guess it. We got this. We got you. Okay. Now, apparently, there's an issue with getting you to the altar, to the marriage supper, of the Lamb. Apparently, something is barked your way to that grand occasion. Okay, now, do you have a pause button on your world?
Not that I know of.
You need one today. Be on pause for just a second, okay? Stay still. This is not the time to go pee. This is time to be still. Brian.
Yeah.
The juxtaposed position of the altar to the lampstand, specifically in your world, refers to?
The juxtaposed position of the lampstand.
We're not asking questions. We'll just ask the questions. We'll turn this into Jeopardy. We'll make your answer be in the form of a question. Alex Trebek, you ain't got nothing on Dobstown. It'll get you.
Mm-hmm.
Roxy, you're going to want this now. The juxtaposed position of the lampstands is in what geographic position regarding or position regarding the altar?
They're around the altar.
Describe it.
Well, you have the one that's front and center.
Well, no. Now, see, here's where we've been messing this up now. Your words are true and right, but you don't know what you're saying. So that's why we want to get this right, so you can move past these damn lampstands once and finally forever all.
Okay.
And everybody's going to be so jealous because you're going to get it all. It's going to be so wonderful. Yeah, Kyle, you be still now. Don't you go nowhere. You be all right. Just a minute now. There is a specific order to these lampstands, is there not?
Yes, there is.
Now, that's specifically what you know. You're one of the few who actually know this. You and number one are probably the ones that know it.
Well,
so
we're fixing
the position. Is there a specific number to this lampstand?
There are seven.
And now let's go through them.
You got one in front and center.
Center.
In front of the altar. Then the second one would be, now it depends on your perspective, whether you're on the throne looking out across the altar or you're across the pond looking at the altar with the throne behind it and the first lampstand in front of it. But anyway, the first lampstand in front of the altar, and you go to the first lampstand to the left of the altar. Then you go across to the first lampstand to the right of the altar. And you go back across to, that'd be the third one. And you're crisscrossing back and forth across the altar till you get all seven. So you got one in front, you got three on the left, you got three on the right around the altar.
The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand. If you don't get the palm reference, you're going to have to do Katy Perry all over again. There is a dark horse.
Okay. Well, that's
seven
now you're
golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches.
That's okay. In Revelations 1, chapter 1.
20.
Why are you bringing that up? You're asking me if there's seven, but you're saying, then you went to what is laid out in Revelations about the stars in the right hand.
Yeah, now Revelations 2:1. We just said what it was. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Okay, hold, be still. Let that digest just a minute. Chew. Be real still. Kyle?
I'm here.
Do you see the link between the epitome of your original asking question and where we're quickly sliding to?
You mean about dimensions?
Yes, because 2:2 says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not. Thou hast found them liars.
To me, the people that don't get it.
Well, yeah. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Okay, let's try this again. 2:5, Revelation 2:5. This may be the verse that moves your world from here forward, but just stay with us here. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. That's like rebob. And do
thy first works.
Aha. Uh-huh. Now Brian's he's awake now. Aha. Uh-huh.
Because you left your first love.
Uh-huh. And repent and do the first works. Okay. Or else I'll come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Brian, go to 2:5 and look at that again. Those are wordy words. Wordy words. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent.
And could you tell me what exactly one would do when they repent?
Repent.
Does that mean, say, hey, I found out I'm only running on a single double helix strand, so let me engage something that will activate my 144,000, that when one repents?
Maybe. We have a few things to do here now. You got to get this right. Go to 112. Maybe that'll help you.
And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw the seven golden candlesticks.
Son of a bitchy. Look at there. Revelation 11:4.
These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth.
Kyle, you're doing real good here. Brian, the first lampstand of the seven lampstands is in the first and the center middle.
Yes, in front of the altar.
Okay. So the next one is, now we've laid out some others here, I guess you can see.
The next lampstand is the one to the left, the first lampstand left of the altar. And if it's not, then it's the first lampstand to the right of the altar, and then you're going to alternate back and forth from that point.
So the seventh trumpet then would say, the loud voice from heaven, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever.
Okay, that's the seventh trumpet. Is that telling me which lampstand is next?
11:15. But after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God came into them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon those who were watching them. 11. That's Bob's 11. And look, see, we're not a deist. We're not even doing necessarily King James.
That's Revelations 11?
11.
And is that the King James Version, those words?
No, it wasn't. We're saying we're just being crazy.
That's there, pretty close. It's
good, too. Well, we're just trying not to be such a son of a bitch. We're trying to be softer. Bob says we have image problems. Bob says that we are going to have to go to the cloud. Bob says we have to behave. But the good news is Bob doesn't remember
what he said.
So that's good. Now, Roxy, you got this, honey, so far. Now,
got
hold
that,
on.
Roxy,
now we can
right. It.
Okay, Ezekiel chapter 40, verse 5.
And behold, a wall on the outside of the house round about.
Oh, it's
bringing you back.
Is Ezekiel describing some kind of amplification?
There is an antiphonal position here, but it's not having what you think. It's important. Just stay with it.
Ezekiel's describing the city, the New Jerusalem.
The temple.
The structure of the temple.
No, that's where you meant. And see, that's where you go for the dry heaves. No, stop right there. This isn't about that. We're talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're trying to work out the lampstand, and we're doing real good. And behold, go ahead.
And behold, a wall on the outside of the house round about, and in the man's hand a measuring reed of 6 cubits long by the cubit and a hand breadth. So he measured the breadth of the building 1 reed and the height 1 reed. So he's measuring the wall on the outside of the house. You want me to read 6?
Jump to 8.
He measured also the porch of the gate within 1 reed. I remember we talked about the porch.
We beat this horde. It wouldn't fuck anymore.
Is that the porch that the showbread was on?
No. It's not Herod's temple. 20.
And the gate of the outward court that looked toward the north, he measured the length thereof and the breadth thereof. So far, he's measured the wall. Then he's measured the porch, and now we're at the court.
24.
Yeah, go ahead. 24. After that, he brought me toward the south, and behold, a gate toward the south. And he measured the posts thereof and the arches thereof according to their measures. Now we've got posts and arches.
No, it's south. 26.
And there were 7 steps to go up to it, and the arches, therefore, were before them. And it had palm trees, one on this side and another on that side, upon the post thereof.
Okay, we got a palm tree and 2 olive trees, correct?
Hey, Ian, are we describing the structure that built the living water?
No, we are not, Bob. What we're trying desperately to do is to situate the lampstands for Brian where they are in exact proximity of the throne so that he can go past this because he's stuck. And the reason he's stuck is he put great significance in the lampstands, which is key to his actual redemption. Because what happens is that sometimes you get so involved in the road that you miss the journey. Sometimes it's where the rubber meets the road more than what you're doing. So sometimes the ascension, it depends on where you are. It depends on where the lampstand is in proportion to your altar. And the point
was the living water involved here?
Wrong question. We're in mid-thought, so back up. You're going to mess up Roxy's YouTube, and she'll be very cross with you.
Well, the lampstand's about amino acids.
Well, of course they are. Dr. Dean, there's your segue, darling. We knew it was going to get there sooner or later.
Well, Well, hold on a second. So far, what we've went through explain the proximity of each of the lampstands to the altar.
1 o'clock is 1 o'clock again.
Which lampstand is at 1 o'clock?
Oh, no. Your 1 o'clock is 1 o'clock again. This is how you play with time. You're now in a world that has a different time immediately.
So I'm in a world that has a different time.
Brian, do you know what time it is?
Well, it's 1 a.m. in my world, 1.04 a.m.
It's hammer time.
Correct. That's correct. But a few minutes ago, did you know what time it was?
No, I did not.
It was 2 a.m.
Oh, so now you're going to this daylight savings business.
Well, we're showing how ridiculous it is, and we're still realizing, well, no, but yet it is. But you can't dispute that it is. But the point is if you can move an hour, fall an hour, and move the entire world, even those who don't participate in it, Bob doesn't participate in it, but yet his world is still changed by it. His schedule is now changed. His show is now shifted. His world is now. He's got to move everything to figure out what time everybody goes to bed and gets up and changes, and he's got to move everything, and it's quite amazing what has to happen to work on all these bill of particulars and details. It's the same thing that comes into play with the position of the lampstands to the altar. We're trying to get you to know where the lampstands are exactly in their proximity and how that affects with the seven churches, with the seven steps of the temple, not Herod's temple, Solomon's temple. And in that position, you will know exactly how the landscape that used to be, however mysterious, is now playing with intention. If you miss this one, Roxy, you're missing a good opportunity. Now, the question, Mr. Corso, before the floor, is, are these amino acid references? And we say, yes, they are. Hey, Dr. Neen.
Yes, Dr. Ion.
We are desperately trying to create a bridge here to bring us into a land of amino acids. We've done a little structure, and the structure with the palm of your hand, and in a position where we are cleared, as you say, cleared for takeoff, describe the words you know regarding amino acids and our process of ascension. Now, hold on. We are trying to get to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Do you have words that can describe what effects amino acids have on whole plasma? Just in general.
Well, you're dragging it right down to a very specific.
On purpose.
Well,
but it's not required at the words.
Yeah, whole plasma. I guess what happens in the blood is you require protein carriers for different things through the blood. Are you talking about that?
Yes. Protein carriers in the blood segue through basically the essence of lysine to change the way that the molecules are, the specific gravity of how blood is. If you change its molecular specific gravity, you change how it flows. It's the blood that gives you strength from day to day, and it will never, never lose its power.
So the blood that is being associated with our RNA drops with the trimethyllysine will have a different consistency based on what a specific gravity or based on a methylation.
It changes. The methylation, the outcome of the methylation changes the specific gravity of blood. When you start spinning out patients who have been ingesting RNA drops, the specific gravity of their blood will change. Now, we can go all the way through the bilirubin if you need us to, darling. Don't you think we can't, but it's really not necessary. It would just distract. We're trying to just specifically lay out a connection and stop right there so we can get Brian back to the lampstands and get Kyle out of the realms of glory.
Why'd you go wow, Carol, on that specific gravity? What was said?
I just love it when Ion talks dirty like that.
Is that dirty talk in your world, Carolyn?
It is. I'm afraid so.
Jason Derulo. There you go. Talk dirty.
It's Carolyn's bug porn.
Okay, Carolyn, now Ion's been going on, but now he's talking about the lampstand specifically and amino acid. Is there an amino acid associated with each lampstand, or is there more than one for each
apparently,
lampstand?
Yeah, apparently we went through that in Revelation, and I don't have those notes in front of me to pull that up, but I'm pretty sure we went over that, and I could not find it in my general notes. I just went looking for it, but, you know, here's what I'm seeing. In my mind, you've got these seven lamps, I'm calling them lamps, and in each one of them, you've got some amino acid, and then you just decant a little bit of this amino acid, a little bit of that. So our RNA drops are decanting amino acids into our blood, changing the specific gravity, and the specific gravity of blood is supposed to be a very specific, amount. And when we start messing around with extra methylation and whatever else we're doing, we're going to shift the environment of the body. Right, Ion?
Do.
By which way do you measure gravity in the blood?
You don't. Oh, you spin it. You have to spin it, specific gravity. You have to spin it out.
There's tools to measure specific gravity. That's a standard operation in the lab.
It used to be like pH. So you are.
Dig this sentence in my notes here. 28 amino acids are important dealing with the four angles within the unit circle between your sine cosine within the quadrants or winds of the chart itself. Those are exact words from Ion. Get this, Roxy. 28 amino acids are important dealing with the four angles within the unit circle. Isn't that our angel diagram, the unit circle? Between your sine cosine within the quadrants or winds of the chart itself.
Four winds.
Can you do spinning with the breath?
In a measure.
Are there four different amino acids in each lampstand?
No. See, the lampstands are geographic locations, and this is a perfect question, and actually Brian should be asking this question. So let's go back to Brian. Brian?
Yes.
We're asking specifically about the geographic location of these lampstands. Has it referred to the seven?
Did you know that, Brian?
What?
The lampstands are geographic locations?
Yes, they're around the altar. You have one front, center, in front of the altar. You have three going around the altar to the left, and then you have three going around the altar to the right with the one in the middle. That's the geographic location. So, Ion, is that correct?
Yes.
So, Brian, we'd heard this in Rewrite before, that they were geographic locations?
I got that in a private session.
So then what is it you don't know about the lampstands?
What it is I don't have them completely yet. They're not complete.
The juxtaposed position between the seven stars, the seven churches, and the seven lampstands. And these positions laid out and measured specifically in Herod's,
Solomon's
temple, but it is Herod's temple was rebuilt on the same measurements, but it was different. Herod's temple is not a true temple. It's a little man temple. Herod's temple different. It was measured the same way, but different. The lampstands in Herod's temple were moved. Solomon's temple, they were not. If you measure from the porch, you'll create Herod's temple, and the amino acids will not change that perfect lamb. But if you measure from the center, from Solomon's temple, it will convert and change the blood of the perfect lamb.
Okay, now hold on a second.
Yeah, hold on a second. My eye, there was a little bit there, wasn't there?
You just said that the measurement of Solomon's temple will change the lampstands of the lamb, of the blood of the lamb.
Blood.
Isn't the blood of the lamb, it's already perfect. Why would you change them?
The same reason you would build Herod's temple. If you had Solomon's temple, you wouldn't need Herod's temple. But it had been torn asunder, had it not?
So, therefore, the perfection, the clues that were in the blood of the lamb were lost when Solomon's temple was destroyed?
Brian, darling.
Well, I'm just trying to get at what you're saying.
No, we're just saying, all we're saying is, Herod's temple will not bring perfection. Solomon's temple will.
Okay.
Your problem, without knowing how the lampstands measure out exactly, you can't reach the blood of the lamb, either one. There's one that's not perfect, that's a little man. There is one that is perfect, and that's an ascended man. You're one of the few that have been here back in the days when you had the symbols, the swirly symbols and the different finding gates before all the portals opened completely and before we invented the cloud that we would hide in or play in or rule from or whichever you want to call it, that put us in this safe, encapsulated world that controls everything. That's just until you all do. We're only sitting in this proffered position until you do. And we're trying to get you to measure your lampstands in relation to where they apply from the different geographic directions and how they fit into Herod's temple. And if you know that, then you'll know how not to do it. If you measure from the porch, you're going to have Herod's temple, and it won't work.
When we was going through Ezekiel, are those measurements from Solomon's temple?
Solomon.
Okay. All right.
That's right. And
so
that's why
those are the true measurements. Okay.
That's correct. And all that implies to, and then you'll get back to the two witnesses. You understand that. You got all that. You're probably one of the only ones that can quote the vile judgments and not miss a stitch. You know what the little book is, how the little book applies. You know, oh, we're going to start a rant if you're not real careful.
Well, okay, now it's interesting you bring up the book. Now, now, the little book and the book of life, they're not the same book, are they?
That's correct. You're exactly correct.
Okay, now, the book of life, because there's been this deal lately about the soul business. The soul, and then you're not okay. You don't need the soul anymore, and then the android meme took over, or it's a better version of the soul.
You're not using it. That's the only thing we're saying.
That's right.
But you're not using it. You don't have anything to create. You don't want to create. You just want to win the Powerball.
That's right. But what I'm getting at in Revelations, when they speak of the Book of Life, they're talking about the soul, the stenographer. You know, the soul, and, you know, if you don't like the soul or if you want to go to the android meme, both of them apply, but that's what is being talked about when they speak of the book of life, this stenographer keeping track.
And the little book then, going to the little book.
All I know is that, you know, this...
Right before the violent judgment. Come on, Brian. You're doing real good up to just this moment. Go ahead. Bob, tell them about the book.
Well, it's a little book. Is that the book that's in the right hand of the one that's sitting on the throne?
That's Bob.
Yeah, it's my tiny note chart is the little book.
Well, hold on. Is that the little book, or is that the book of life that's in the right hand of the one that's sitting on the throne?
No.
No, that's the wrong book.
Bob, this question is for you. Which book is in the right hand of the one that's sitting on the throne?
My book, the little book. Not the book of life, the little book. And I don't even know nothing. I just guessed that, but I'm just guessing.
Okay. That's the book that somebody's going to eat, and it's going to be sweet like honey in their mouth and bitter when it gets to the belly.
That's my chart. You got to eat my chart.
Okay, now hold on. 10:10, Revelation.
10:10.
No, just do 1 through 11. That's all of it. Somebody else get up. Exodus 3, 2 through 18. First we want Revelation 10, 1 through 11. And next we want Exodus 3, 2 through 18. So, get right.
And I saw another.
Let's not turn this into a rewrite, man. This is Bible.
Yeah, that's fine. The rewrite is just Bob.
Yeah, but just do one verse. We can't take 11 verses, man.
Okay, seal up the things, seven thunders utter, and do not write them. Okay, next topic.
That's how you get the answers. Did anybody get that? Seven thunders, something happened? Turn left to Greenland?
He's saying that's specifically Revelation 10, verse 4. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. That's verse 4. That's what he just said quickly. So in other words, there's a voice telling John, do not write these seven thunders. Do not write them down. If you have Revelations revealed, Ion tells you where those seven thunders are.
And so, let's see. Ready to go to the beach, Bob? What's next?
You mentioned Exodus. What's an Exodus? Or is Bob...
Did I put a guy posh on that one, too?
Guy costume.
He may have queered the deal for sure, but...
So Exodus chapter 3, what verse strikes you, Ion?
2 through 18.
Hey, Bob, how about this? We'll have a little bit of a sidebar here. Ridley Scott's got a new movie coming out called Exodus, Kings and Gods. Ion, did you have some influence in the making of that movie, and is there any particular parts of the movie that would be of particular interest to
all of
those? All of it, okay. So it's a good movie to engage then.
Yeah.
Which J.W. influenced that movie? J.W. 2. There it is for the record, folks.
You can find it in the credits of the executive producer.
And what are we going to find? We're going to find JW2 in the credit of the executive producer?
You'll see some. It probably says Bob Dobbs.
Some ridiculous Reverend Stan Goober Snack. Perfect with Connie Dobbs.
Now, see, we've gotten into this before, and when we got into this before, you stopped, and you said, Ion, is this what we covered here the other night? And he said, yes. And then you said, Ryan, just wait. Just wait till the new patents come out, because it's in the new patent. So I'm asking you, are the new patents out? So it'll explain all of this that we've been discussing for the last, hours.
Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them.
Yeah, that's the answer right there. That's the answer to the patent issue. I mean, we got some old patents out there. If you want new ones, they're not available yet.
But it's those new patents that are going to come out that will...
Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
That applies to what we could say.
And then Moses or Bob is like, no, they're not going to believe me. What do I do?
Bob wouldn't know.
They're not going to believe me.
Bob wouldn't even.
I wouldn't even know if they believe
award.
Me.
He'll win the Academy Award and won't show up. They'll change the name of the Kennedy Center to Dobbstown, and he won't even come for the kids.
That's right.
I have a question for Bob also. Did Seven Thunders have anything to do with Joyce Thunders?
No.
No.
Lord,
could they be considered
no,
a
no, it had Linda Blue and Spot Straight. Linda Blue and Spot Straight.
I'm glad you jumped in there, Ion, before that got fucked up.
That train left.
Well, I already know, because Bob would have said no, too, because Bob would have said no, that wasn't Seven Thunders in Finnegan's Wake, that was 10, and they're not the same.
Yeah, well, and then Draconian Rule would kick in, and that would be in the LaRouche Quadrant before William Irwin Thompson vomited.
Hey, Kevin, did he say when it was his prostate?
Yes, it is.
Way to go, Roxy. We had prostate. Never heard that before.
It's been happening since the fall. We start to interpret or to connect things that are not to be connected, but somehow we do these connections. Like,
yep.
We are lost in this labyrinth of the mind. But we are now in the non-physical part of the show.
Yes,
and
that's right. Sorry, we need to do that.
And said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee.
Got to give them something.
Bob, you got to give them that something. They ain't going to believe you. And the Lord said unto him, he said, Bob. The Lord said, Bob. And Bob said, what is it, Lord? Bob,
he goes, what? That's what.
Are you Reverend Stang? No. Are you Dave Worcester? No. Well, okay. Lord, Lord, Lord. I cried, Lord, Lord. And the Lord said unto me.
Well, that's
he
the
said,
shaking.
Bob.
That's
he said, Bob. He said, Bob.
It's oh so
Bob.
Important to shake it.
The Lord said unto Bob, Bob him. And the Lord said unto, I think scriptures. You can't argue with scriptures. What is in thy hand? And Bob said he didn't know. Then what the Lord told him, he said it was a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it.
I fled? Wow.
He's like, they won't believe that, but they'll believe this. No.
If they do not believe, these also two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take up the water of the river and pour it onto the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land.
Well, I had to wash my hands after that one. I had.
Yeah, see.
Yes, and the river
no, that's
is
good
the new blood, right? The river is
yeah.
The new blood with the new gravity.
And our skin.
And the living water. I poured the living water in the desert and sprang for trees and oases.
And then at the
no
end,
iron.
And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed, yay. And they signed up for a subscription to Dobbstown. Yay. They got their voter registration to Bob University, Bob Dean University. Used to be Bob Jones, but he bought that, and that's Bob Dean. It's a Bible college. The Bob Dean School of Piety. It's a good thing. Set up. And the people believe they joined Bob Dean School of Theophacy, the office, the holy offices. And when they heard that the Lord, Bob, had visited with the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their afflictions, then they bowed their heads and they worshiped the feet of Bob.
Praise the Lord.
Praise Bob. Praise him. Praise him. Praise Bob. 4:31.
What chapter is that?
4.
Aaron's
31.
A good talker. What?
4 chapter. Yeah,
talk.
What part of the Bible?
Exodus.
Bob,
Exodus.
You wrote it, Exodus chapter 4, verse 31.
Yeah, Bob, when you watch Exodus, Ridley Scott's movie, you have to figure out where that is in the movie.
why does Aaron have to go everywhere with Moses?
Because he can't talk right.
The lampstands are locations, but the olive trees are entities?
Amino acids.
But the olive trees are amino acids.
Dude, well, you had to ask Dr. Dean. Don't believe us. Our problem is we know stuff.
I heard that, I think it was Homeland last night.
Dude.
You know, hey, dig this, Carol. In Homeland, the whole issue is over this little kid whose family got blown up. Some some Lebanese kid. They're all Lebanese to me. His family got blown up.
Oh, Afghani, Bob. Afghani.
No, they're all Lebanese. If they're slightly brown, if they look I only know Lebanese. Dr.
Pongoids,
Peter is Lebanese. Yeah.
Oh, my God. She thought it was a Shiite. It was really a Sunni.
Right. No, it was really
you don't even know a Lebanese person.
You can't wait to what
I
belong
know
like
a
to
Lebanese.
Yeah.
I just, the living water has less oxygen. Is this changing also this gravity in the blood? This living water...
No. It's a nice segue, but since Dr. Dean is here, we will go into it. Otherwise, we would just intermittently dismiss that. But since she's here, you got a chance. See, that's your ally with the Father for sure. So the issue now becomes the change of say the axiom water in the earth changes helps support the less oxygenization of the world. And that'll affect the blood. So it does, but that's not what you're asking. What you're asking is a specific individual relativity. You want to increase the amino acids. You want to bring yourself back where you are living without the excess oxygen. See, you're taking less oxidation, so there's less debriding. You basically, now this is going to be, let's see if we can get Dr. Dean interested. That's your only prayer for this to go anywhere at this point. Hey, Carolyn, in the meat sack body, you have staph infection that is constantly eating off the upper dermis of your body. Is that the case?
You have natural, normal staph that has its life cycle there.
Now, I want to tell you, in Homeland, I'll just get this fact out, this main Lebanese kid that they're all fighting over, his name is Ion. It's spelled A-Y-A-N, but they keep saying Ion. That's how they pronounce it.
Very good.
So right there.
So Ion was saying in the meat sack body you have staph eating off your body, and I'm saying it's normal eating. Yeah. It's not, at that stage, a bad thing.
Whoa. We never said staph was a bad thing. If you didn't have staph, you'd never make it, none of you.
I know, but
it.
The words you said implied it was eating your very life force. So we're both agreeing that it's natural on your body at this stage.
Well, it actually is eating the upper level of your dermis, the largest organ on your body, which is your skin. So the dermis, the outermost skin, is being gobbled up by this thing that allows your body to make new cells. If this thing stopped eating the skin, would your body stop producing it?
No, probably still produce it, but get all clogged up and develop problems. And that's where super hygiene actually works against people and gives them different kinds of skin afflictions.
Maladies.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying don't take a shower every day?
Cosplay is behind, on the back.
I was just going to say, Roxana, I was just going to say, I heard Coldplay in the background.
Dude.
There it is.
We're hearing it.
The sacred sound of the beehive of Herod's temple.
Uh-oh. Run away,
Aaron. Not Herod. You want Solomon's temple.
Herod's temple. This is Herod's temple. This is a broken cold fusion battery. It's only got 7 candles and 5 thunders and 3 locations.
Ion is walking JW's body right into the center of
activity. That's right. JW's body is wandering around the factory. The employees are looking. Look at that. Look at JW. He's in zombie mode again. They're watching zombie mode.
And our point about the staff?
is that it changes the dermis. It debrides it. If you change the landscape, the mystery landscape, as it were, if you change that and you lower the pH into a negative pH or change the veracity, we're going to say it this way. If you change the veracity of hydrogen, you affect oxygen's necessity in an atmosphere. If you change hydrogen to a negative state or have the negative potential for hydrogen, you decrease the requirement of oxygen to make the strata stable. So basically, the aurora borealis will soon be on fire, meaning it will burn off this extra oxygen at that level. That's what happens already anyway. But it's really going to happen at this stage because the hydrogen as a bomb from a negative standpoint makes oxygen caustic. That's why you're having all the wildfires.
And it's burning off the extra oxygen or extra hydrogen?
Yes, extra oxygen.
Extra. Wow.
And it's making carbon, because that's what you're now, the thing that you have the most plentiful on your planet is carbon. You don't have enough now.
So all the fires are helping to make more carbon.
In a plausible, usable way. But that'll go good till Los Alamos blows. And that's a good thing. When y'all live through purple, you can live through anything. Fukushima effed you up.
What's Los Alamos?
Where they store the spent fuel cells. They saved them just for us.
Is it an earthquake that's going to nail that or something else?
Ooh, we don't know. Probably just leave the door cracked. That's really all they got to do.
Dr. Dean, the specific gravity of blood changes from person to person depending on the vitamin and mineral intake the person has had within the last 24 hours.
Interesting.
But Aya mentioned also something about protein.
Yeah, the protein in the RNA drops, and I'm sure the minerals in the REMAG and RELIGHT are going to be changing the specific gravity, like Kyle is saying. So what we're doing with the completement formulas is changing the specific gravity of our blood. And, you know, he keeps alluding to the fact that people who have the RNA drops blood are actually treating Ebola.
Say that again.
Ion had said that some people are recovering from the Ebola virus because they're being treated with blood from someone who has been taking RNA drops. Now, we have no idea if that's true, but that's sort of part of the premise of how our blood is becoming perfected and becoming the blood of the Lamb.
Right. I heard him say the blood of the Lamb is doing something with the Ebola.
Can the blood from another person also change with that transfusion? Or how is that working?
Are you asking Ion?
Yes. Was that a transfusion they used, or how was that done?
You mean to save the Ebola victims?
Yeah.
They just took some out of one goober and put it in the other goober.
Or someone who was sick in the RNA drops donated their blood?
We didn't say. Nobody we know at the Winship Cancer Center in Emory University had anything to do with this program.
No, I said we could donate blood just in case.
No, who cares?
It wouldn't be much more interesting to talk about hematocrit.
Hematocrit?
Yeah, hypocrite, like a hypocrite.
What do you got against hematocrits?
Nothing. We just wanted to know about it.
It's a blood test that measures the percentage of the volume of whole blood that is made up of red blood cells. So I suppose it's like a type of specific gravity. It'll give you the volume of the red blood cells, the heaviness of them or whatever.
Gravity. Oh, so you mean it's sort of like First Kings.
First Kings. Here we go again.
Chapter 17.
First Kings 17, which verse?
He says we can only do one. He says we can only do so. Just do one chapter.
It's great only doing one verse.
Then go to 16. Then go to 16.
And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the curse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Cruise. What's cruise of the oil?
Well, yeah, whenever there's food comes up, Ion says it's about the amino acids and the fat. Mm-hmm. And cruise is a small vessel, jar, or pot.
First, I thought he said go to 16. It was interesting, 16, verse 2, because they talk about the dust. As I exhausted thee out of the dust.
Yeah, and then the dust is, what's that, our minerals. I mean, the dust we talked about as being the minerals at some point.
That was in Genesis.
And then, you know, maybe every once in a while, dust or certainly stones will be the white stones.
Okay, Ion's back.
The thunder, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our God in Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the temple of God, which is in heaven, was opened, and the ark of his covenant appeared in his temple, and there were flashes of lightning and sounds of peals of thunder and an earthquake and a great hailstorm. And so that's something.
You already have your non-physical, but is that exactly when the non-physical is merged with the physical?
You will cease measuring the distance of your lampstands to your altar when that occurs.
When the lightning enters the temple.
Okay, so we solved it. We got, now can we go to the beach?
No.
Okay, then you better ask the question or I'm going to the beach.